Hello, and welcome to the Live and Teach Guitar Podcast, Episode 15. This is a podcast for guitar teachers wanting to start or grow their guitar teaching business. In this episode, I'm going to discuss publishing your own content, whether that's creating your own ebooks, courses, videos, physical guitar products, or anything else you might create to sell or publish online. I always encourage guitar teachers to consider creating their own products or training courses, as there's a big market for guitar learning products. As a guitar teacher, earning money from an ebook or an online course is a great way to diversify your income and build what is called multiple streams of income. Being able to earn an income without having a time commitment like in-person lessons is definitely something worth pursuing. This was discussed in episode 3, so if you haven't heard that episode, check it out for more details on why it's a good idea to create your own guitar products in addition to giving lessons. Now, there's plenty of information online on the technical aspects on creating your own ebooks, courses, or products. Live and Teach Guitar members have a range of guides and courses to cover the technical side thoroughly. When I say the technical aspect, I mean how to actually create and format the ebook, how to set up an online store to sell it, that sort of thing. What is missing is advice on what type of content to include in the products you create. If you're creating an ebook, course, podcast, YouTube video, or any other content, how do you work out what content to write or talk about? How do you make sure that the content you create will appeal to your audience? And how do you make your content stand out from all the other ebooks or videos already available? That's what this episode will discuss. By the end, you'll have a few key principles you can apply whenever you create or publish anything. The content you publish is the key to a successful video or course, so this episode will help you avoid common mistakes and apply best practices. The first point I want to leave with you is before you get started creating your content, you need to find out what is already available and what you'll be competing against. If you want to create a video series on YouTube teaching popular songs, jump onto YouTube and watch the other videos covering the same topic. Watch the videos and write down notes as you go. How do they explain the songs? What do you like about the videos? What do you dislike about them? What do you think the videos are missing? What do the commenters say? This is such a powerful step as it gives you a lot of valuable information on what you should or shouldn't include in your content. The goal here isn't to find ideas that you can steal from other people. It's to give you guidance on what you should or shouldn't include in your content. So the first point to remember is to do research on your idea before you dive in and start creating. The more research you complete before you get started, the better your idea will end up. The second point is something called validation. This is discussed in detail in our guide EXP05, as well as our Launching a Product course, and it's really important. Validation is all about testing your idea out to see if people are interested in it before you actually create it. It takes a lot of time and effort to write a book or create a video course. Do you really want to put in all that time to only find out that nobody is interested in it? That's exactly what validation will help you avoid. To validate any ideas you have, you need to come up with a quick and simple test to see if people are actually interested in your idea and if they're willing to pay for it if you're planning on selling it. The typical advice you would see is to run a focus group or survey and ask people if they would buy your product if it was available. That advice is actually wrong. Focus groups and surveys of this nature do not work, ever. Studies have clearly found that what people in focus groups say they would do and what they would actually do not match up. So if you ask somebody if they would buy your course if it was available, the answer they give won't be accurate. To illustrate this point, let's say you want to write a book and you ask somebody if they like the idea. They say that they would buy your book if it was available, and they say that they think it's a great idea. If you then turn around and say, "Well, good news, I've got one copy of my book in my car and I can sell it to you right now for $20, what do you think will happen? The chances are that that person will suddenly come up with a reason why they can't buy your book right now. So, if asking people if they would buy your product doesn't give you useful information, what's the alternative? It's actually quite simple. You ask them to buy it. Instead of saying, "This is what I'm coming up with, would you be interested in buying it when it's done?" ask them, "This is what I've come up with, here's the discounted price if you buy it right now, do you want to buy it?" Asking people to buy your product before you create it is a lot harder to do, and you might feel a bit strange doing it. but it gives you a far better idea on whether your product will be well received or not. You can always give the money back to people if you decide not to go ahead with your idea, so there's no risk involved in doing this. If this sounds familiar, it's because it's the principle behind crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter. Sites like Kickstarter are a great way to get funding for an idea, but the real benefit is that it allows you to validate your product ideas before going through the effort of actually creating it. So the lesson to take away here is to validate your ideas before you start working on them. There's nothing worse than publishing your idea, then finding out that nobody's interested in it. So take this principle seriously. The next idea I'll leave with you is that you can break any rules or conventions you want, and you should only create a product that you yourself would use. This is a hard point for some people to accept. I see it all the time where somebody wants to create a product, so they look at other similar products and see that those products have features X, Y, and Z. And then they decide that, okay, maybe I should include X, Y, and Z just because the other products do. I'll use this podcast as an example. Before I started this podcast, I listened to a lot of other podcasts in different industries. If you listen to other podcast episodes, you'll notice that this podcast doesn't really follow the typical podcast format. The typical podcast usually opens with some intro music, then a voiceover announcer will introduce the podcast and the host. Then the host comes on and takes a few minutes for general chit-chat before getting into the content. Throughout the podcast, there might be some breaks for sponsored messages. Then at the end of the podcast, the host spends a few minutes saying goodbye, and the podcast closes with more music and maybe more sponsored ads. That's the typical podcast format, and it's what a lot of podcast listeners expect. Now, there's a few reasons why this podcast doesn't follow that format at all. The reason is that as I was researching podcasts, as I've suggested in the first point here, I would take notes on what I actually learned during the podcast. Almost without exception, by the end of an hour-long podcast episode, I would only end up with a handful of dot points on what I actually learned. I'd also time how long it would take to get from the start of the podcast to the point where the host actually starts talking about the episode's content. Sometimes it would take 5 minutes, and in one case, it took over 13 grueling minutes. 13 minutes is such a long time, and to me, that's a waste of my time to have to wait 13 minutes before getting to the real content. I also found myself frustrated with how some podcasters would drag out content to fit their hour-long show. Sometimes it was pretty obvious that the content was stretched pretty thin just to fill in time. In the shows that have sponsored messages, I'd again get frustrated because it breaks the flow of the episode and distracts from the content. I personally listen to podcasts to learn something new, and I couldn't stand listening to an hour-long show to learn 5 minutes worth of dot points. So when it came time to create this podcast, I broke the convention and created a show that I would want to hear. There's no 13-minute long introductions, no long intro music or announcers, and definitely no sponsored messages. I take 2 sentences to introduce the podcast, and then I try and get into the content straight away. My goal was to create a podcast that would get straight into the content and not waste your time. The point here is that if you want to create a product, you don't need to do something that doesn't feel right to you. If the convention is to have a 5-minute long introduction and you can't stand listening to those introductions yourself, don't include one in your show. Now, at this point, I'll mention that by breaking convention, you might turn some people away. I know that some people actually prefer hour-long shows with intro music, announcers, and sponsored messages. When those people listen to this show, they're probably going to think of it as unprofessional because it's missing those features. That's okay, I'm fine with that. The key message here is to create a product that you can be proud of. If I added intro music, hired a voiceover announcer, or added sponsored messages to this podcast, it would start to feel inauthentic and against the goals of this podcast. So by focusing on creating a show that I would be happy to listen to, I'll hopefully attract other listeners who also like shows that get straight to the point without all the other fluff. When you create a product that you're proud of, and you would use yourself, you attract other people like you. So I'm giving you permission, so to speak, to break whatever conventions you want and only create a product that you yourself would use. It's such an important point and a lot of people are missing it. So keep this in mind when you're researching your product ideas and when you're creating it. The final point I'll leave with you relates to the 80-20 principle. If you haven't heard of it before, read up on it, as it's a great principle you can apply to any aspect of your life and your business. The general idea in this context is that 80% of your results or benefits come from 20% of the content. As an example, most of the value a student will get out of a book will come from 20% of the pages. 80% learned from a course comes from about 20% of the modules. In my earlier example, 80% of the dot points I wrote down from an hour-long podcast came from about 10 minutes worth of talking. When you think along these lines, it forces you to think about what actual value your student will gain from your product. It's also going to help you avoid dragging on and creating something longer than it needs to be. You might feel that you need to write 100 pages for your ebook, but what if you could accomplish the same goals in 20 pages? How would that change the way you write? Using 80-20 thinking will keep you focused and avoid problems. Instead of taking all day to create a fancy intro to your video course, you can focus on the content that actually makes a difference. Instead of worrying about the design of your ebook's cover, you'll realize that it's mainly a waste of time and you should really be focusing on the actual content. So the final point to take away here is to use the 80-20 principle to stay focused on the aspects of your content that actually matters the most. So I'll finish up now by quickly summarizing the points covered in this episode. First, research competing content before you get started. This will help you identify what you should and shouldn't include in your own content. Second, validate your ideas before you create them. Don't ask people if they would buy your product. Instead, ask them to buy your product. Third, break any conventions you want and only create a product that you yourself would use and would feel proud of. Finally, use the 80-20 principle to stay focused and only create the content that matters the most. The great thing with these principles is that you can apply them to any content or product you create. You can even use them in your lessons to help you stay focused. Whether you want to create an ebook, video course, podcast, or software, use these points to make sure you stay focused and only create the products that have the best chance of success. The technical details on actually creating the product are really easy to learn, and the content is what matters, so that's why this episode is focused heavily on how to create the best content possible. The webpage for this episode at liveteachguitar.com/podcast/episode-15 contains links on relevant resources on the technical side of creating these products. So if you want to learn more about selling an ebook or course, for example, check those out. Thanks for listening to this episode, and I hope it helps you out with any product or content you want to create. Now, please stay tuned for these messages from our sponsors. Nope, not going to happen. Talk to you next time.